So let's go ahead and settle in for practice. It may be that it helps you to orient externally before orienting internally. So it might be that you begin with a few moments or a minute with the eyes open, of really bringing awareness to the experience of seeing colors and shapes in the space where you are, seeing and knowing that you're seeing. You might let your awareness begin to rest back into the body that is the home of the eyes that receive seeing, and begin to make contact with a felt sense of the body. And as you begin to do that, it might very naturally feel supportive to soften the gaze. Or perhaps even to let the eyes close. And bringing a similar quality of intentionality to the experience of sitting, just as you did with the experience of seeing. So sitting and knowing that you're sitting. Feeling how the body is arranged. And perhaps as an outgrowth of the intentionality of sitting, letting the body come into a posture that expresses that intention, that is an expression of dignified presence. Perhaps there's a slight extension through the spinal column, or a slight tuck to the chin that allows a lengthening through the back of the neck, a lifting through the crown of the head, so that there's an aliveness in sitting here. Aliveness without unnecessary efforting. So allowing a gentle releasing and relaxing. In any parts of the body that might be contracted or bracing. Softening through the eyes. Sometimes once the eyes have closed, there's still an energy of looking. So is it possible to let the eyes simply rest rest back into the sockets. Softening through the jaw, maybe a slight parting of the lips or the teeth, letting shoulders melt down the back body. Away from the ears, facilitating a settling in the arms, letting the hands release where they are, fingers softening, quality of openness in the palms, whether palms are turned up or down or towards each other. Perhaps a feeling of the three-dimensionality of the breath as it enters the torso. The expansion of the chest to the front. The expansion of the abdomen in the lower torso. The expansion of the back body as the ribs spread, perhaps with a slightly fuller inhalation, and letting the exhalation bring a softening to the belly and to the back body. Releasing to whatever degree is possible through the hip joints. Letting the legs grow heavy. Feet resting solidly on the earth. If it works for you to work with the breath, I invite you to gather your awareness almost with the same tender energy you might use to gather a bouquet of flowers. It's like gathering together the awareness. To rest awareness on a felt sense of the breath. We're offering our attention a place to rest, a place to land. In the same way that we offer that bouquet, the support of being held and nourished in that vase. And you might even explore taking a few slightly deeper breaths, to notice all the places that the breath might be expressed or experienced in the body. Before choosing the place to rest your attention with the breath, so checking out the full expression of the breath in the body. The coolness at the nostrils with the inhalation. Maybe the slight warming or the sense of air on the upper lip with the exhalation through the nose. Maybe the rise and fall of the rib cage, the expansion of the chest to the front. Or maybe tuning in to the more subtle sensation of the breath in the back body. The way an inhalation brings a slight spreading of the shoulder blades. The exhalation bringing shoulder blades back toward the midline of the body. Sometimes people are drawn to the slight movement of the shoulders rising and falling with each wave of the breath. Or you might find yourself drawn to the experience of the breath in the abdomen, the way that the diaphragm expands and releases. Or the rise and fall of the belly. And you might see where your attention is drawn to working with the breath. And remembering that if for whatever reason the breath is not appropriate for you today, you have alternative anchors, a touch point, or some other sensation in the body. But if the breath is accessible to you today, I'd invite you to play with it. Even for part of your practice, letting your awareness gather to a particular location where the breath is most alive for you, or most accessible. Or most easeful and enjoyable. Let it be easy. You might be drawn to a familiar home base for the breath, or you might choose a new location, maybe one of these subtle manifestations of the breath piques your interest today. Let the breath be easy and natural. Let your awareness rest back, just like you invited your eyes to rest back in their sockets. Rest back and receive the breath. Of course, the mind will wander. And each moment is a simple opportunity, an invitation to begin again, to refresh your intention to pay attention to the breath. Might even enliven that in attention by beginning to notice the changing nature of the breath. The inhale, with its sensations of filling or expansion, and the exhale, the sensations of letting go. Releasing. Exquisitely noticing the experience of just this breath. Maybe it's deep or shallow. Halting. Or fluid. As you float on the waves of the breath, you might find that you can notice the beginning of a breath. The deepening middle. The ending of a breath, where the fullness turns over into emptying. Experiencing the flow of change that is the breath. As we come toward the final minutes of our practice together today, perhaps recognizing that the ending of a sitting might be viewed as part of a larger wave of beginning, middle, and ending that mirrors the wave of a single breath. Part of the larger flow of a sitting period of a day, of a life. And perhaps reflecting on how might the capacity for knowing this truth of change, the experience of flow, be of benefit to you and to the wider world. How How might this recognition support the opening of your heart? Those you come in contact with. An openness of heart that might be able to offer a sincere wish for well-being. May all beings know the preciousness of presence. May all beings experience health and happiness. May all beings know ease and be free from suffering. So building on where we began our exploration last week, we were talking about the three characteristics, this truth that Ruth King so, concisely summarized in her statement of, not perfect, not permanent, not personal. And that second piece of not permanent is particularly poignant around this topic of, what is it to live this journey of a life that's in a body? And the capacity to notice change, to be interested in change, to relate to change in a different way than we often do. Some people are really energized and thrilled by change, and many of us are unsettled by it. And sometimes downright terrified of it, particularly in relationship to our bodies. It's not universal, but it's not uncommon to have some form of struggle or resistance. And so the breath is actually a really useful place to sometimes explore that capacity for noticing, witnessing, being interested in change, and to be able to notice beginnings and endings. And there's a little reading from a woman named Susa Tallon. She says, E is for endings. for the wise reminder that endings don't just happen at the big end of a movie or a day or a life. They happen all day long. Breakfast ends, coffee too, a conversation, a feeling, a moment of praise or blame. It all comes to an end. If we can meet and know the moment-to-moment endings each day, then maybe the big ones won't feel so big. So, to offer some perspective, because we often don't think about this when we're engaged with our breath practice, you might consider your breath practice as part of your preparation for dying. You know, and in many ways, it's one of the most powerful practices, literally, because at some point, we will all take our last breath, and we will perhaps witness other beings taking their last breath. And that threshold, that threshold moment is really poignant. Yeah, I recently had an experience with this. Some of you, I know, were aware of my little orange tabby who actually became quite sick and had to make the decision to euthanize her a few weeks ago, and sat with her. The blessing was that the COVID rules had just changed, and I was actually able to be with her in that transition, and was just reminded of just how poignant, how precious it is to be at that threshold, and to watch. It was the breath became very interesting to me, through that whole process. It's this is so precious, so precious. So this teaching, is not insignificant, and it is related. It's a microcosm of this bigger topic that we're just starting to open to. And I just want to map out where we're going to travel together in the coming weeks. We're entering the territory. It's one of my favorite topics of and arenas for practice that's taught me the most over the years. And in the Buddhist tradition, these teachings are referred to as the heavenly messengers. Aging, illness, dying, and awakening are known as the heavenly messengers. And some of you may be familiar with this, but the story of the Buddha, some may be familiar through Buddhist channels, or maybe you remember reading Siddhartha, the story of the Buddha. And as you know, Siddhartha was of a royal family and was quite protected inside, literally inside, sort of the walls of the his family's home. And at some point, he got curious about what's out there in the world. And as the story goes, he was walking out amongst the people, and he encountered a really old person. And it was his first encounter with this truth that, oh, aging happens. He had been surrounded by beautiful young beings. It was like his family had protected him from knowing about the truth of aging. And he kept walking, and he encountered a really sick person, perhaps someone vomiting in the street, and it was and weak with illness. And it was this truth of oh, the body can become ill. It's not invincible. And then in continuing to walk through the world, he came across a corpse and the truth of death, you know, the ultimate impermanence of the body was right there in front of him. And the story doesn't stop there, because he kept walking and he encountered a monastic, someone in robes that represented, you know, that there was something accessible that was expansive and beyond, you know, the simple pleasures of the body. And it really opened him to what became this whole journey of him becoming the Buddha, of choosing to leave this life and investigate. And I love this name, the Heavenly Messengers. You know, we often don't think of aging, illness, and dying as good news. But there's really something powerful and transformative in what can open in us when we turn toward and meet these truths with courage and curiosity and compassion. And they are portals into awakening, into opening and deepening our clarity and our compassion. So it's rich and fertile territory that we're going to be entering, and we'll begin in that sequence with aging, and we'll probably do a couple weeks with each. How to work with aging in our practice, how to work with illness and discomfort in the body, how to navigate death, the truth that we all have a one-way ticket. We just don't know how long the ride is. And so does everyone else that we know and love. So navigating these truths internally and externally. So this theme that we've worked with in so many different ways this last year of practicing internally and externally shows up here as well, because we are navigating our own journey of living in a body, and we're often navigating the journeys of others that we care about who are living in a body, and the grief and loss that accompanies both of those journeys, internally and externally. So there's many angles we can look at this through, and we will circle back around to awakening. You know, how is this in the service of our expansion? So what I would invite today is to, for our sharing and breakout rooms, is to maybe speak to impermanence in relationship to the breath, or this concept of beginnings and endings. So either one of those, and certainly if something else is alive for you or sparking curiosity, then feel free to follow your hearts, and we'll do, I think we'll do about 6 minutes will be the timer, and then when we close the breakout rooms, you'll have one final minute. So enjoy each other, and Welcome, welcome back, and I'll just see if there's any, you know, brief comments before we close for today with a short little poem. So I might invite this week, if you like, to explore beginnings and endings. You know, see what it's like to tune into that flow, you know, moment to moment, or in the arc of a day, or in the arc of a week. And you might also bring your curiosity to noticing, how do you relate to beginnings and endings? Yeah. Is there sort of an energy of curiosity or welcoming, or is there resistance or fear or sadness? Not to say that any way of responding is good or bad, but this is our practice to see clearly, to see what's happening and to see how we're relating to it. And beginnings and endings are part of the landscape or the territory of the heavenly messengers. And then I thought I'd end with just a short poem by Anne Hillman that I think points us toward the value of, you know, why we would practice with these teachings and these teachers that are available to us in this very life. So, looking to the wider view, we look with uncertainty beyond the old choices for clear-cut answers to a softer, more permeable aliveness, which is every moment at the brink of death. For something new is being born in us if we but let it. We stand at a new doorway, awaiting that which comes, daring to be human creatures, vulnerable to the beauty of existence, learning to love. Daring to be human creatures, vulnerable to the beauty of existence, learning to love.